All right. Well, good morning and welcome to this Wednesday morning Bible study. I am Pastor Luke. And as we said yesterday, we're gonna finish up this little section here in chapter 12, where I think there's a strong connection between what's happening in chapter 11 and what's happening in chapter 12. These things do kind of feed into each other. So go ahead and pause your audio, read through chapter 12, and then we're going to dive into the text and hopefully finish this in under 15 minutes. One of these days I'm going to keep that promise, okay? So go ahead and pause, and then we'll dive right in. Okay, so we have Miriam and Aaron. They're speaking against Moses. Like, that's the classic story that everybody knows here. But who are our characters? Well, we have Moses, Aaron, Miriam, the Cushite woman that he had married, and we have the Lord is speaking, and that's pretty much it, okay? So kind of a smaller group of people in this story. But where is this happening? Well, this is happening in the desert of Sin near Sinai, the wilderness, I should say, of Sin near Sinai. When is this happening? Well, this is happening between the events of chapter 11 and chapter 13. And you say, okay, well, that's not super helpful. Okay, well, I'm not saying it's super helpful, but that's the data we have. Okay, so this is while they are, this is before God has judged them to 40 years of wandering in the desert. This is after they've built the tabernacle. Okay, so this is still, things are still thinking that they're going to be in the promised land within a year, right? Like they still think that this is going to go well for them. So what happens? So we've got our who, our where, our when. What happens? Well, Miriam and Aaron speak out against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they say, has the Lord spoken only through us, through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? And the Lord heard it. Now, this is a kind of a difficult passage here, because the word that's used for Cushite is a word that really is not easy necessarily to explain for a couple reasons. Because basically the first reason is people want to know, wait, is this Zipporah? Like, or is this a different wife? Did Moses take more than one wife? Okay, here's what we know. We know that there was a land of Cush, which was which we interpret as Ethiopia. Okay, the Greek text interprets this as Ethiopian, okay, the Septuagint. The word Cush in the Bible can describe the Kassites who lived east of Babylon at a later period, east of the Babylon of a later period, in Genesis 10:8 they do this, or Ethiopia, which is, of course, would be south of Egypt. Another suggestion is that this could refer to Cushan. I'm reading from the NET text notes here. I'm giving you a summary of what they say. This could refer to Cushan, which is perhaps close to Midian, and so the area Moses would have been. And if it is Cushan, this would suggest that it would be Zipporah. But the Bible does not identify the Cushite as Zipporah. And the NET Bible draws this conclusion. They say, the most natural understanding would be that it refers to an Egyptian/Ethiopian woman. The text does not say whether Moses married this woman or what Miriam's problem with her was. It is clear that this was a racial issue by the use of the word Cushite. Whether she was of darker skin than the Hebrews would be hard to say, since the Bible gives no further detail. Neither does it say if this is a second wife or a woman Moses married since Zipporah had gone home, Exodus 18:2. These do not seem to be issues the text wishes to elaborate on. It is simply stating that the woman had become the occasion for a deeper challenge. Now, the NET Bible says that he had married her, but it doesn't say it, and it does. It says that Moses had taken a Cushite woman, or a Cushith, is Hakushith, the Cush woman he had taken. And so what do we do with this? Is this Zipporah? I tend to think no. I tend to think that this is a woman who came among the people who left, who was an Ethiopian woman, and that Moses married her. Okay, I see no reason to doubt that that's the case. And, you know, okay, so what do we do with that? Moses married another woman. Well, you know, a lot of people married multiple women in the Bible. Like, the Bible does not forbid that. Does that mean that Moses was a sinner? Well, not necessarily. I mean, we don't know the whole circumstance. The Bible does not give us more circumstances. The Bible doesn't tell us why he had married her. The Bible seems completely uninterested in dealing with that issue. Okay, so am I promoting polygamy? No, I'm not promoting polygamy. I don't think polygamy ever brings about the better life, okay? What I am saying is that the Bible does not use this as an occasion to judge Moses for marrying a Cushite woman. And that's really not a place where we need to step in. Like, I don't need to criticize Moses here because the Bible chooses not to. The Bible's issue is not with Moses marrying the Cushite woman. Now, that was Moses's and Aaron's issue, was criticizing about her. And then they said, now this is a really interesting connection. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us? Now, wait a second. What on earth does Moses marrying a Cushite woman have to do with whether or not the Lord has spoken through Moses and Aaron, or Miriam and Aaron? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, as far as I can tell. I can't think of a single reason why Moses marrying a Cushite woman would have anything to do with whether or not the Lord has spoken through Moses and Aaron, or Miriam and Aaron. Sorry, I'm all garbled today. What does that have to do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with anything. That's the point. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. They are upset. Miriam and Aaron are upset that Moses, their little baby brother, is getting all the attention, and Moses, the little baby brother, is the person who seems to be in charge of the entire camp, the entire nation. And what does he do? Well, what do they do? They use this as an occasion to criticize Moses. Okay, what's their criticism? Well, the Bible doesn't give us their criticism exactly. Okay, the Bible doesn't give us their criticism specifically, but I think we can guess what it would be. It's, you know, Moses wants to pretend that he's, you know, this great leader of the people. He's the only leader of the people, and he can't even marry an Israelite woman. He marries a Midianite, and then he marries a Cushite. He didn't even marry an Israelite. Hasn't the Lord spoken through us? We're Israelites to the bone. We married Israelites. Now, can I say for sure that that's what their argument was? I can't say for sure. But I'm going to guess with pretty good confidence that it was probably something like that. Now, what are they saying? Has the Lord not spoken also through us? Are they simply saying, hey, God also speaks through us? No. What they're saying is, you don't need this blood traitor Moses. God speaks through me and my brother pretty well too. God speaks through me and Aaron. And notice that Miriam is the one given, you know, pride of place here. It's Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Cushite woman. My guess is that it bothered Miriam a lot more than it bothered Aaron. Okay, Miriam sees her little baby brother marrying outside the race, marrying outside of Israel, and maybe this Cushite woman, like maybe she was altogether unimpressed with Miriam. Like maybe she did not kowtow before Miriam and it bothered her, and then she gets Aaron to come along. Because notice the punishment is much more stern on Miriam than it is on Aaron. It seems like Aaron is just kind of the dopey brother who's like a little bit jealous, and they bring him along. He's kind of the Fredo of this story, you know. But who's really the power in this argument? Who's really the power in this division? It's Miriam. It's not Aaron. Aaron's speaking up mostly because Miriam's dragging him along. Okay. So the Lord, and then verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very humble, more so than any man on the face of the earth. A lot of people are going to tell you that Moses couldn't have written that. I don't have a problem with Moses writing that. I'll be honest. If Moses really was the most humble man on the face of the earth, then for him to not say that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth would be a lie. It would mean that he's not humble. Okay. If you really are the most humble man on the face of the earth, I think it's okay for you to say that you're the most humble man on the face of the earth. It's not bragging if you're humble. If you're really the most humble man in the world, then you're not going to brag about being humble. Like people say, well, it can't be. It has to be added by a later hand. Well, I don't think it has to be. I don't think it has to be at all. So the Lord spoke immediately to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. The three of you come to the tent of meeting. So the three of them went, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forward. The Lord said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not like this. He is faithful in all my house. When I speak when I speak with him, I speak face to face, openly, not in riddles. And he will see that the net makes this a future. He will see the form of the Lord. Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. And after the cloud had departed from above the tent, there was Miriam leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam and realized that she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "My Lord, please do not hold this sin against us, in which we have acted foolishly and sinned. Do not let her be like a baby born dead, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of its mother's womb." And then Moses cried out to the Lord, "Heal her now, O God." The Lord said to Moses, "If her father had only spit in her face, wouldn't she have been disgraced for 7 days? Shut her up from the camp for 7 days, and afterward she can be brought back again." So Miriam was shut outside of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not journey on until Miriam was brought back. After that, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Okay. So, what do we have here? Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got this difficult text. We've got this difficult text. And it revolves around the Lord's speech to the people. If you were to look at, you know, this text, right? And you look at how it's structured, what you'll notice is there's conversation between Moses and Aaron, and then there's the Lord is speaking, and then there's conversation between Moses and Aaron, right? And so what we see is that, or at least there's conversation about Moses and Aaron. The Lord's speech is right in the very middle. It's right in the middle. So that's the center. That's what we should focus on. And what's the Lord's argument? And he says, look, if there's a prophet among you, I speak to him in visions and in dreams. I speak to him in riddles. He doesn't see me face to face. But that's not how it is with Moses. With Moses, I speak face to face. I speak to him clearly. I don't speak to him in riddles. I don't speak to him I don't give him visions and dreams. I talk to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Why were you not afraid to speak against Moses? Now part of you wants to answer, because Moses is just a man. Moses can make mistakes. Sure, Moses can make mistakes. But that wasn't their criticism. Their critique against Moses was not that Moses was a man who could make mistakes. Moses was very humble. Moses understood that he could make mistakes. Their criticism against Moses was, we are just as good a prophets. We are more loyal to the Lord. We are more loyal to Israel than Moses is. Because I think that's really the heart of what they're saying. They're criticizing Moses for marrying a foreigner, and they're saying, the Lord has also spoken through us. They're saying, we're the truly loyal ones. We're the ones who really, truly love the Lord and really, truly love our nation, and that's why we haven't married outside of our race. They're questioning Moses' loyalty. Saying Moses really doesn't love the people of Israel. Moses doesn't really love the people of the Lord. And we are perfectly acceptable prophets. The Lord can speak through us and to us for the people. We don't need Moses anymore. That's pretty strong. And the Lord says, look, you think you can replace Moses? You think that you're a better prophet than Moses? I don't speak to anyone like the way I speak to Moses. I speak to Moses face to face like a man speaks with a friend. Why were you not worried to talk about Moses like that? Why did you think it was okay for you to criticize Moses? If I, the Lord, have seen fit to speak to Moses and give him prophecies the way that I have, knowing that he has a Cushite wife, if I, the Lord, didn't have a problem with it, why did you have a problem with it? If I, the Lord, didn't come and rebuke Moses and say that this invalidated his ministry, why did you think that that gave you the right to do it? Now, remember what we talked about yesterday. Yesterday we were looking at the text, and we were looking at this issue of jealousy that Joshua had. Joshua was jealous for the honor and glory of another. Joshua was jealous for the honor and glory of Moses rather than the Lord. Here the people are worried about they're jealous about their honor and glory rather than Moses' honor and glory. But where was Moses concerned about? Moses was not concerned. Moses right now is the least concerned person about his own glory. Moses is the least concerned person about his own glory. Isn't that really interesting? Look back at chapter 11. Did Moses care about his glory when the other people were prophesying? No. He cared about the Lord's. Now that his brother and sister are bad-mouthing him, does Moses care about his own glory? No. But who does? The Lord. When we look at these texts together, this is why I said these texts have to be understood together. When we look at chapter 11 and chapter 12 together, when we look at the pattern of Moses' life, when we look at the pattern of his humility, what do we see? We see the lesson that we're going to see all the way through the book of Samuel, that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Moses didn't care about his own honor and glory, but who did? The Lord cared. When you care about the Lord's glory and the Lord's honor more than your own, guess what the Lord does? He cares about your honor and glory. When you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. But when you exalt yourself, like Miriam and Aaron did, what will the Lord do? He will humble you and he will humiliate you. This is the lesson that we need to learn, brothers and sisters. We need to learn to be humble. We need to learn not to be so worried about our own honor and our own dignity and our own pride of place. We need to be focused on the honor and glory of the Lord. Because when we focus on the glory and the honor of the Lord, he will lift us up. Those who are humble, he will exalt. And he will seat them on thrones of honor. That's the lesson we learn in 1 Samuel. But anyways, that is all we have time for today. And so I thank you, and may God bless you, and have a great day. Bye.